Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Morning. All right, our assignment from yesterday. In awareness, there is no becoming. There is no end to be gained. There is silent observation without choice and condemnation, from which there comes understanding. J. Krishnamurti. For the next 24 hours, allow the insights from the assignment so far to percolate in awareness. Perhaps review your notes, re-listen to the radio shows, and revisit the recordings you've made to date. Then, make a recording that assists you to summarize your process of suffering around receiving. As you listen to this recording, as you look at conditioning from awareness, without choice or condemnation, what drops in as understanding, or L, what you see? All right. Here's our first caller. You're now unmuted. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Loren from Connecticut.
Hey, Loren.
Hi.
What are you seeing without judgment or understanding?
Wow, I don't know why I've never been so shocked to be unmuted as I am in this moment.
Deep breath.
Yeah, wow, okay. So what am I seeing without... Okay, I'm just going to take a second because I really was
yes,
not
please
expecting.
Do.
Thank
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, I was, I guess what I saw yesterday and today, I found day 17 and 18 sort of looking at, you know, like, what is the truth that's revealed in the conversation? And so mm-hmm. I was seeing like all these lies that are built in the conversation, like this idea that like I'm not happy or I'm unhappy with something or I'm missing something that automatically gets assumed to be true mm-hmm. when there's a desire for something.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really seeing how that is a false presence, that when I get excited about a possibility, it's because it resonates with something, and so it's not that I'm unhappy with what I have or that I'm missing something at all.
Wow, that is such a subtle place, right, Loren? Because what you're registering is the presence of something, and it gets interpreted into the absence of something. The word desire that you used is so classically the root cause of suffering, right? That desire is the absence of something. And so here you are registering something in positively that's here, and then that gets converted or mutated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the line that's been coming back to me a lot is something that Sherry said a few weeks ago about, you know, that we just want to be walking through life, you know, with an open hand.
Mm.
And, you know, I had, I think to what Krishnamurti is pointing towards, I had that experience yesterday of there being a process going on in the morning of ego turning something into absence and me starting with the place of not, really knowing what to do with it, but I decided to just keep some of my other commitments of the day that it would have tried to talk me out of, like to say, okay, well, I can't listen to the radio show or I can't go visit a friend that invited me to be in their garden because I lost the whole morning to ego, so now I have to be productive. And I ignored that and I kept the plan with the radio show and with the friend anyway, and I just saw how I just had that experience of the open hand, mm-hmm. that is what's available to me when I'm not falling for the story of something absent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly so. That is so beautifully stated, and such a practice success, because when the hand is open, it doesn't mean that something's missing, right? It just means that we're open to receiving. And so to understand the mechanism of the conditioned process, which focuses on what you don't have, so you cannot receive what is possibly being offered, right? Because what was on offer was the participation in the radio show, and what was the date with a friend. And so to keep our attention on what is being offered and to participate, rather than on what we don't have, and then miss all that is offered, right? Because what we don't have is the closed hand, and we miss having our hand open if we don't have our attention on what is being offered and what can I receive. So to override that and do it anyway, right?
Yes, yeah. And the last thing I'll just say is thank you for how beautifully the assignments are arced throughout the month, and that we get to do them again and again. Because I mean, I know I'm thinking ahead because we're not there yet, but I feel us getting close to the day where we look at life being friendly. And
well, we don't have to wait for that, Lauren. You can do that assignment anytime you want.
Oh, good. Because that, you know, I know that that's. I know that awareness in the back of my mind is part of what made that experience possible. Of that's why I want to have my hand open, because I have had the experience that life is friendly. So even though we're not on that assignment yet, that did drop in as support yesterday. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Lauren, for pointing that out, because the reason we do that last week of assignments is to shift our orientation from a habitual negative narrative to what is true in life, right? And so the reason that we do the assignments over and over again is for you to have that, to train in that orientation, and for it to be available to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Not necessarily to just have it available the day you do the assignment.
Right.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Gosh.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Lauren. I'm going to bring on our next caller here, Ashwini.
Thank you, Bob.
Disappeared, okay. All right, next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob in Minnesota.
Hey, Bob.
Hi. Well, I am looking at, it's just a great sequence of assignments, and beautifully written, and I really treasure that. I'm looking at a process of being able to just enjoy being this being and having this view of life.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the ends of a whole set of large dualities that have kind of dominated things like, you know, work and rest and achievements and you know, those kinds of things. But starting to see there's no reason not to just enjoy being here and looking through these eyes and seeing these hands right now. There's no reason not to enjoy it, like, mm-hmm. at any point during, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know. And it really gets emotional and sweet. And
yes, it's very primal, right, Rob? Because it's the essence of, it, you come down to the essence of why we're here, especially when we're in times like this where so much of the normal is shaken up, that we're forced almost to confront certain things that we weren't required to confront before. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, that the ability to just simply enjoy what we have, enjoy this being, because what else is there? Because everything else is kind of made up, and that's what we're looking at, right? That those dualities exist as dualities simply because that's what we've always believed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do we let it go and just enjoy being here?
Yes. No, and you're absolutely right. It's a period of really wonderful, concentrated practice because it's the exact same view. You could view it as the exact same view every morning and the exact same everything. Or you can celebrate, wow, it's really foggy and beautiful today. And, you know, here in northern Minnesota, this is the magic week where the leaves finally come out on the trees. We haven't had any leaves on our trees yet. And this is the week that they're coming out. And flipping that and practicing moment after moment in this very similar situation, flipping that story and going like, oh, wow, it's really different.
Yeah. Sameness is such a conditioned orientation, isn't it?
Yes.
And we are in the same dualities over and over again. And basically what we discover when we get out of it is that what's missing is simply the enjoyment of the now. Because we're not in enjoyment. We're in the sameness of it, which is really, within quotes, boring.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Yeah, just as you say that, it's helping me see that, you know, conditioning is what looks for sameness, and life is what looks for the newness and the difference.
Exactly so, and registers it because it's never the same.
Yes.
Inherently, it isn't the same.
Yes.
And so you can't but experience it as different and new and fresh. Yeah.
And, you know, there sometimes this being that I get to steward is sort of foregrounded momentarily, and sometimes it just blends into the background, and both are there to be enjoyed, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. Both are there to be enjoyed. That is really the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the reception that we want to tune into. That's the receptivity, which is, it doesn't matter what I'm receiving, but I can enjoy that receptivity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. That story about sameness and boredom, that's a great one to practice against. You know, it's like, no.
That's right.
In fact, this is totally different and totally awesome. And how can we help? How can we help them? And how can we love them today? How can we love them right now?
Yes. How can we love them today? Yes. That's so beautiful. And as you said, sweet.
Yes. It just feels very sweet. So thank you so much. And thanks to you and Sherry and all of Sangha.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Rob. And Ashwini, I love that discussion around sameness and change and all that, because I'm always kind of brought back to being at the monastery and, you know, always being encouraged that the reason we have, you know, that there's only, you know, one rule, you know, there's, you know, because there, it's very easy to get caught up in that conditioned belief that how things are right now is how they're going to be in the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an ego trap. I was just thinking, and I don't know, maybe I'm just testing this out, but, you know, that the whole idea of change, you know, it seems like it's, in the conditioned mind, it's odd because it's like, well, change is just what is. So why does that have a name? Isn't it just life?
Mm.
And because it seems like it's, when I'm just here for life, I don't have to worry about whether things are changing or not changing. I just know that there's life and I need to be here to be present to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, it is what we're identified with, right? If we're identified with sameness, everything looks the same. If I'm identified with life, everything is changing, then that's what I experience. I'm not separate from and witnessing change, right?
Right.
That's right. I'm just inherently what is. And so I'm experiencing what is, which is fresh, new, and different in every moment, but difference is still a mental process of comparison. But if I'm here, all I experience is what I'm experiencing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Great. Alrighty. Here's our next caller. You're now unmuted. Please introduce yourself.
This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Let's see. Well, I've been looking at the process around that was suggested in the beginning of the month about like focusing on flaws instead of celebrating achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been seeing how it's one of the things like the talking about like what I need to let go of was you kind of like ego's promises about that, you know, if you just work hard enough, you know, there's going to be this great thing for you, you know, and sort of ego, like believing in ego's promises of safety and well-being and all of that, and kind of like making that leap of faith into just being here, basically, and just receiving what's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I project that the focus on that what's flawed rather than accomplishments is driven by that conditional assumption that you articulated, right? So clearly I need to perform in order to be okay or be safe or be loved or be accepted, and that if I'm not, I'm actually not performing well, so I can stay in the state of suffering. So to completely give up that conditional promise that if you only work hard enough in order to perform, then you will be all right, is the setup that we're looking at, because you're never, in the conditioned world, you're never going to get there, and you don't have to get there to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, if I let go receiving conditioning's promises and believing that that's what's required for me to be okay, I could just be okay.
Hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I'm noticing even as I'm sort of talking with you, I'm kind of noticing that, like, okay, figure out the right thing to say next. You know, mm-hmm. like, don't just, like, see what arises. But, you mm-hmm. know, I can just feel, like, my mind being like, okay, what's the next thing? I've got to figure out, like, mm-hmm. kind of like the story that I'm mm-hmm. going to tell
mm-hmm.
instead of... So.
Yes, which is very, very good to see. You have to be present mm-hmm. to see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, you just did exactly what conditioning doesn't let us see we need to do, and that's seeing it rather than seeing through it, right? So you notice it arise, and you're talking about it. You're not talking from it. And so to notice that implies a tremendous degree of presence. And so the next step is simply that you're aware, you're not in the story, and to own the projection of awareness, because then it changes the story. You're not believing it.
Can you say more about it changing the story? I'm not quite sure.
Well, if we keep saying that we're the kind of person who it just tells the story or lives the story, we that's the story that we believe. But what you're doing right now is being present enough to say, I'm watching that conditioned pull to figure it out. So mm-hmm. what that really means is you're not trying to figure it out. You're watching the pull to figure it out. So it's important to articulate what is true, because then you're not mm-hmm. living the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. how the transformation occurs. I become more and more present to the fact that I'm here watching something, I'm not figuring it out.
Yeah, right, to not sort of go down that next sort of ego trap okay. of like, well, look at you trying to figure things out. Or
exactly. I'm here watching it, and now I'm saying that I'm watching it, so I can't be part of it. Mm-hmm. So what I am really is present and here, which is what I wanted yep. to be, because I just gave up that. I gave up going with it, and I've chosen to watch it and be here instead, be present instead. And now I can expand my awareness to watch something else. I don't have to watch it. It's fine if it's there.
Yeah, that feels like an important shift.
Precisely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. And I'm going to bring on our next caller here, Ashwini.
Thanks, Bob.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Erin in Massachusetts.
Hey, Erin. What are you seeing?
Well, so I'm not quite there with being aware. I'm a little bit more at, like, as I look back at the month of the last couple of weeks of work, I saw that I reacted the same way in a couple of moments where I was receiving input.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was happy to see that pattern, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, it didn't, it was not a good reaction. Like, it felt bad in the moment and bad in retrospect. It was similar. It was like people asking me, I was actually asking for input, but what I got back was more things to do, and my reaction was, I can't do more, but I was asking people what else to do. So.
Well, it's so, Erin, I would project that you're in the data gathering phase of your process, right? Because we have to pay attention, and then what in the moment we get informed about what our process was. And so your process is what you're looking at. So here is the process of asking for input, receiving input, and then not liking the input that gets received and then feeling bad about that, right?
So
just to watch that's a process block, right? Those are the components of what happens. And it's really, really good to see, because if I'm watching that happening and I'm building my awareness of what happens, then when it's happening, there's the ability to be able to know that I'm in the suffering process block, right? That's how we work with this.
One thing I find myself doing when I'm in that moment is I have these little practiced things that I say so that I won't react too largely. Like, I might say, thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's like a note to myself to, like, stop.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
It's such a good practice.
Well, it's great practice. I mean, we use the I don't know if you're familiar with our facilitation techniques, but we use reflection in that way, right? Because what's really happening is my conditioning is being triggered in some way by the input that I'm receiving. So an ego activation is happening. So what I'm trying to do in the moment is not to let ego take over the interaction. And so if there's a handle, like saying thank you or reflecting what the other person says, then that's good to do, because the thing I want to do more than anything else is to be here rather than to be taken over, right? Mm-hmm. Now I can go process that interaction with my recorder, do a two-handed recording exercise, and really explore what's going on for that person that they get triggered that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that it's not something that is mysterious to them, to you. Why is that happening? Am I tired? Do I feel deprived in some way? Do I need some support in some? Do I not know how to do something? Is my cup running over? What is it that's really that I don't know that's being triggered that causes me to not be able to receive that input? Now, that's an exploration that you can do beliefs and assumptions and recordings about to get clearer about that process block.
Right.
So perhaps the reactivity isn't there. Because even though you say thank you, there's something that happens in you that is suffering, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so now that's the process you want to look at and tease apart to say, okay, what's going on for this person? How can I liberate this human being from this conditioning that gets triggered by this specific input?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. And Ashwini, I think we have time for one more call. So I'm going to try to bring that person on here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini. Good morning, Bob. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Well, this month has been transformative for me. It's one of those places where you say thank you, thank you, thank you until you mean it, and suddenly
you mean
I have just seen an explosion that's like life-changing. And I mean, I hear other people say that and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when it happens to you, it's kind of like, wow, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started the month with this whole question about the urgency of doing keeps me from seeing, from being in the moment, one moment. But what I've gotten to is that the urgency of wanting to be somebody else has taken me away from this only life that I have, that I can be.
Yeah, be who you are, right?
That well, it's just like...
Go ahead.
Yeah,
that the urgency to be somebody else, which is what you're... it robs us from being the only person we can be.
And it's a lifelong pattern for me. If only I could be this person. If only I could, you know. And I think the mechanism is the doing. If I just do more and more and more, then I could be that person. But there was just this moment where I was like, I'm getting gifts because of who I am. And if I were her, you know, she's getting gifts because of who she is. And... you know, we're all part of the fabric that is the intelligence that animates, and we're little pieces that are puckered. I just picture it as little pieces puckered up from the big fabric, and it was so, it's so gigantic. But conditioning wants to come in and erase that realization every time I revisit.
Kim, I am so happy for you. I can't even sit on my chair anymore because that is such a gigantic, as you said, a gigantic insight that we are what we are. We cannot actually be anything else. And then to be driven by a voice that says somehow or the other, you need to do in order to be something that you're not, is just a gigantic waste of time. Because that realization that all that I'm being given is because of what I am or what is me is one of the hardest things to receive, right? Because the whole conditioned orientation is how you are is not good enough, and therefore you need to improve yourself to be something else in order to get what blah, 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 right? Going back to what we're talking about with Loren, and to be able to drop that and realize, oh my gosh, I am. Period. Right?
Yeah, and I mean, so then where conditioning goes with this is really interesting, because it's like, well, you just can't sit there and not do and just be, because nothing's going to get done in that, you know, way, in that, you know, with that method. And so, but I see that, and there's this fear of like, oh my God, it's right. If I don't choose something better than what life is gifting me. Like, that's the thing. It's just the still small voice says do this, and immediately, in a nanosecond, there's the better idea coming in. And I'm like, it's you have to really go into slow motion to see it. So it's every second I'm looking for it in every direction, even on a trail. Which direction should I go on this trail, right? Or I mean, and it's so... everything. Well, go left. No, go right. No, I think left would be better. It'll be faster. You know, just this whole immediate, you know, just takes it away from life so, so fast.
Yes. Well, absolutely. And you're doing exactly the perfect training around it, right, Kim, which is there's this big insight. And you can watch how the conditioned process is attempting to draw you away from the insight. And you, what you're doing is training to be present sufficiently not to follow that. Right, not to go with the fear, not to go with the urgency, not to believe what it's it's saying, because it's a well-worn groove. You have to now create the groove, the other groove, the groove of attention on existence, with existence informing you and giving you gifts tailored to your receptivity for them, right? Because it's coming to you. And so to do this, as you said, with deep breaths, with slow motion, to really slow everything down so you can hear the voice and build the receptivity or attention to that, to calibrate to it and to keep calibrating to it so that we won't get pulled away from in the other direction.
Yes, and one little tiny request is that I was thinking about compassionate scheduling. I've never had a chance to take that workshop, but there's a part of me that's like, you know, part of this is how you're building too much to do, or conditioning is building that in, and how, you know, just taking a look at that, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Sangha.
Take care, Kim. Go happy.
Thanks, Kim. I'd love every bit of that conversation, Ashwini. Because I'm happy she brought up compassionate scheduling, because I was just looking for myself as two were talking. It's like that sometimes what I'll do to kind of work with exactly what you two were talking about is I'll go for a walk without any idea of where I'm walking to. And someone will say to me, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I don't know." And it's such a great practice to, in that way, to schedule time where there actually isn't a goal other than to do a single thing, and then get to see all the way the conditioning tries to bring me back into its control.
That's so receiving the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, well, that brings us to the end of this show, Ashwini, and here is our assignment for today. As you sit with all you've seen so far about how you are caused to suffer around the process of receiving, allow to arise in conscious awareness what freedom from suffering would look like for you. How would you rather be with the process of receiving? What would you choose as the alternative to the habitual condition orientation? RL, what you see. Example, I want to be open to the ways I am cared for instead of being focused on a conversation about how I'm not cared for. All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Bob. Go happy.
Go happy.